At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends. Welcome in. This is the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports. Hang on. Excuse me. You can check them out online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Great group over there. If you want to check out an ATV, side-by-side, motorcycle, whatever it is, they have it there at Impact Power Sports along 14 Mile Road in Rockford, Michigan. Well, just outside of Rockford, Michigan. You can check them out. And full service department as well if you need any work done. They are awesome. Thank you so much to Impact Power Sports. Also, they have Yamaha golf carts there, the best in the business. You can get those there at Impact Power Sports. Okay. We have a lot to get to today. I'm catching up on some old stories, but first, I want to get into a kind of an odd scenario this morning. You know, when you have our beloved NFK, my brother-in-law, living here, and he kind of just hangs out in that television room and, you know, all throughout the day makes trips to the refrigerator and to the bathroom. So when I see him in the middle of the hallway when I walk downstairs first thing in the morning, and he's holding a towel up with a look on his face like something terrible has happened, and I go, "Hey." Something bad did happen, because he then said, "God damn, motherfucking toilet overflowed. Fucking shit. Fuck. God damn it, motherfucker. Shit. Fuck. God damn it." And then I go, "Oh, right." So then he walks into the bathroom with the towel. Now, this man is not capable of much, and I know for sure he's not capable of remedying this situation, but he has a tendency to try to take care of things on his own, and then it usually doesn't get done right. Alan says, "I need some arm flapping easy." Well, he couldn't. He was holding onto the towel. He couldn't flap his arms. Side note, I found a shard of glass last night in the kitchen, which tells me something bad happened when we were up at Fear Bunker North. Something broke. And this man does not do a good job of cleaning up when bad things happen. He also doesn't do a good job of understanding that accidents happen. And there's really no reason to become enraged like a psychopath. Tyler says, "Tries to help, makes things way worse." Exactly, which is what he had begun to do. It's a good thing I caught him. All right. Because he was about to make it way worse, but I interacted with him. Despite that, he then walks into the bathroom. Now, we've got plenty of water on the floor, on the ceramic. No big deal. No poo-poo. But he, most people, if they were going to do this, can assess that there's going to be a need for many, many towels. Now, he doesn't know where the junk towels are, so he gets one of our bath towels. And he walks into the water with his socks on. So now he's actually in the water. And I'm like, well, that was dumb. Most people will stop before the water and then commence to cleaning up as best as they can. Probably not the best idea with your socks on to just walk into toilet water. Yeah, there he was. And so he's standing in the toilet water holding up the stupid towel. And I go, hey, you know what? This is no big deal. I got this. I'll take care of it. Go get your coffee. Hands me the towel. I go, thanks, buddy. I immediately put the towel in the wash because he's touched it. It's worse off with just him touching it than it would be if we were to use that towel to soak up toilet water. It would be more clean after soaking up toilet water than it would be just him touching it. So he shuffles off, muttering under his breath how terrible his life is. And I'm just like, now I don't have time at this point. I was doing the radio show, so I shut the door and go about what I was going to do, and eventually made my way back there and took care of what I needed to do this appropriately. I go upstairs. She goes, what's going on? Pooh Bear says, what's going on? I go, your brother clogged the toilet. And she says, how the fuck did he do that? I go, I don't ask these things. This is why I don't ever ask, because that means I have to interact more, and he's going to stress me out with the over-the-top antics and the arm flapping and the motherfuck this and the motherfuck that. This man has no ability to process when things kind of veer off the road and just work your way through it. And I try to lead by example by not, he cannot help himself. He has to overreact. It is written into his makeup to overreact. And it puts me on edge. It puts me on edge so bad. Very rarely do I ever say, cool it. I have, but it's just like, dude, okay, just go. I'll take care of it. Tyler says, arm flapping, motherfuck this, N-word that. Oh, my God. And you don't want to worry him. Just go. We'll take care of it. David said his brain is too broken to not overreact. Yeah, I think so. It's much better, though. Honestly, when he moved in, everything was anger. Hey, you want to have a piece of pizza? Fuck this. Whoa, easy, big fella. So just a minor little blip, and then smooth it over, and it's gone. So the toilet temper tantrum is what happened today. The stress of the fraud bus, I think we are over the hill on the stress of the fraud bus. I talked about this on the Patreon yesterday. Thank you to audience member Chuck for reaching out. I had no idea that this was a thing, and I did talk about it there. I'm going to talk about it here too, because that's been a big topic of discussion for so long now. The fact that, again, the first trip out this year, malfunction, take it back to the dealer. Okay. Yesterday I was telling you about, I gotta sell it. No, I don't know the first thing about selling an RV. And it's a good thing I didn't attempt this on my own. It's a good thing I got tipped off that there is a place that will sell it for me. Consignment. Basically, it's like having a realtor sell your home for you. And it's very, it's people I know who do it, actually. The place that I store that thing at, DC Storage here in Hudsonville, they do that. They have a staff of people who will sell it for you. And if they're selling it for more than $150,000, they'll charge you 7%. And if it's under $150,000, they'll charge you 8%. I'm like, I don't give a fuck what you charge me. Just get this fucking thing out of here. And I had no idea the complexities involved with unloading something like this. Very, very big undertaking that I hadn't even considered. And the stress of that would have put me over the edge. Chris says, very good thing you didn't do this on your own. I think you're right. Bullet dodged. So this is why I titled the Patreon, Let the Healing Begin. It truly is. Because now all I literally need to do is pick it up from the dealership after they get done repairing it, and then call this dude Dylan over at DC Storage and say, hey, I'm bringing the fraud bus over. And then I give him the keys, and then he assesses like how much they can sell it for. It's almost like an appraisal of it, if you will. And then they clean it top to bottom, sparkling new, and then they have the, like when you take the pictures, they have a actual area where photos are taken of these vehicles to make them look as good as possible. So I'm like, oh, this is a million times better than I could do. And they do all of that. And then they list it on all the sites around the U.S. that are popular. They take care of transportation. They take care of the closing of it. And then you get your money, you pay off your lender, they get the 7%, and then boom, you're done. Now, why this is great is because, you know, I had, I'm on the hook, had been on the hook for the new license plate, which was due July 7. I don't have to pay that now. That's done. Away we go. I tipped off Charity Scam Mike, my brother-in-law. I go, that's it. I'm done. He goes, build a cabin. I go, that's the plan. We're going to build a goddamn cabin. Nick says he's paying 7% to avoid looking the next poor sap in the face. You don't know that. You don't know that. There's a pretty good chance it will be a catastrophe for the next guy, but I've done everything I can to repair it. It needs to leave. And the guy says to me, Dylan over at DC, he goes, is there anything wrong with it? I go, well, after I get it back from this repair that I have, no, there is nothing wrong with it. There is nothing wrong with it. As far as I know. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't predict whether or not it's going to happen again or something bad is going to happen again to it. And that will put the end of this chapter of some of what could very well be the worst financial mistake of my entire life. I should have done research. I shouldn't have walked into that venue at the camper show with no intention and then be swayed to just drop that amount of cash on something just like that. That's embarrassing. I am embarrassed about that. Branjo says, at the big fraud compound, you'll be the new David Koresh. Yeah, we want to make a nice, cute little cottage. So that's the plan. This might take a little bit of time. It just depends on what my pals over at DC, how quickly they can move the damn thing. Chris says, and that's coming from a guy who bought a house with student loans, LOL. Yeah. You know, at least then I was young and dumb, 20, 21, 22 years old. I'm going to be 55 on July 7th. Megan says, will the big fraud compound have a hot tub? You never know, Megan. You never know. That would be wonderful. I think we got to start on infrastructure at Fear Bunker North. You know, we're going to need a septic system. We're going to need a well dug. These are critical infrastructure things. there's a pretty good chance I'm going to have to clear some land, like hire an excavation team to get us the space that we need. I mean, I have plenty of space, but in 10 acres, all but like 0.25 acres is dense forest. Man Bun Chris says, yeah, the mice need running water. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. All right. So that is the first positive story, getting rid of that thing. What an absolute disappointment that has been. Wanted to get into the story that I don't think I did talk about this on the Patreon to some degree when I did my EZ from the road driving the fraud bus to the dealership Patreon bonus podcast from Tuesday, which from what I've been told was fun to take in. But I got a text message from my daughter, Jacqueline, and she said, you are the only person in the family who is not a dumbass. And this happened. She said this because of all of the things that I'm about to telling you that I'm about to tell you transpiring. Some of you know this story, but it's worth telling again because there is an additional bit to it that hasn't been told. On Tuesday, my job was to get up from doing the free podcast, drive all the way across town, and let Jackie's dog out. She is in Florida with my son-in-law. Madison is staying there taking care of the dog, but Madison is at work that day. So I'm on the hook to take care of the dog that day, let the dog out at about lunchtime, and that's it. You know, no big deal. I've done that many times. I get there, and on Jackie's front door, they have the deadbolt, and then the handle has a lock. You're not supposed to lock the door handle because they don't have a key for that when they bought the home. So they haven't gotten to replacing the door handle. So the deadbolt key is under the mat. But Madison has locked the handle when she went to work because she's staying there. Jackie says, I told her 10 times not to lock that handle. She locked the handle. That's a bummer. I cannot get in. I go home. I'm driving the fraud bus to the dealership. Diana goes all the way to where Madison works to get the garage door opener to get in through that door, the service door. She drives all the way to the house, a lot of miles here. Opens up the garage door, and that door is locked too. So these are all things that shouldn't have happened. It turns out that they think that the there's a keypad to get into that door, that service door. It's not working. They think the battery died. So now two people have gone. No one can get into this house. While I'm driving, they actually call a locksmith. A locksmith shows up, gets in the house. Okay, great, done. I am now inside of the RV dealership. I'm waiting for Pooh Bear to get done at Jacqueline's and make the drive to the RV dealership to pick me up. I'm hanging out, waiting. I get a phone call. Hey, yeah, locksmith, open the door. We're good to go. But as soon as I pick you up, we have to go back here. We have to come back here. And I go, why? And she says, well, that key... that the first key that's under the mat, I dropped it somewhere. I cannot find it. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Tyler says, I'm guessing EZ was expected to pay for the locksmith visit. So then I'm like, okay, now... I said nothing. I wanted to say, what the fuck is wrong with you? But I realized that that is just going to make it worse. So I just said, okay. And then I can tell she feels bad, and I can tell she's embarrassed. So I didn't say shit. And then I hear these words. Oh, I found it! And I'm like, oh, thank God. Thank God. I go, okay, get the key, put it under the mat, and I'll see you soon. Okay, see ya. Bye-bye. Tyler says, that's how you lose Pooh Bear points, veteran move. Yeah, you want to call her the R word, but I didn't do that. Now, Mom has told Jacqueline this news, that she lost the key. Jacqueline is not aware of the news that it's been found. So then I hang up with Pooh Bear, and the phone rings, and it's Jacqueline. And it's that phone call I was telling you about to start this. Hello? She goes, everyone there is retarded except you. And I go, are you referring to the lost key? She goes, yes, she lost the key. I go, she found it. She did? I go, yeah, I just talked to her. She found it. But you're right. They are both retarded. There's no question. My God, Chris writes, Judas fucking priest. Oh, I know. It's just a comedy of errors. She goes, you're the only one who did anything correct today. I go, well, I mean, all I did was drive there. How could anybody screw that up? I'm with you. I'm with you. Now, of all the people, all of my kids, Jacqueline is the most like me. We do have a lot of similarities when it comes to apple falling from the tree. She is the closest apple to the tree. What a disaster. My God. And then tragedy avoided late. Poor Jacqueline, that whole day was, while they're on their trip, getting phone calls from people saying, we can't get into the house. We can't do this. We can't do that. Fucking A, man. Holy shit. Today is a big fraud Thursday on Patreon. And Ben Glaze and I have a lot of ground to cover on the show with two programs on Patreon. Who are these free beers? Show number 56. As the gang goes back to New Jersey. That's right. The gang goes back to New Jersey. And we've got some great moments from that we need to cover on the show. Also, a bit from this week that Ben is getting after right now, when the gang decided to make an attempt at being a Foley artist. You know, the sound effects people? He's got that for you. So a lot of what I have is, all of it, is from several weeks ago. But I do want to share this with you. I've been working on a tendency that has been taking place on the show, as I tend to do. I tend to pick up on things that happen a lot. And one of the latest tendencies is put on display quite regularly by the Burn King. Now, he is influenced by things a lot. Like if there's something he witnesses in the media or a comedian, or if there's a trend, he always dives in and kind of makes it his own. And one of the things he's been doing is, I don't know if this has to do with because his kids are getting to a point where they use the slang that young people use. I think that might be where this is coming from, but he has developed a tendency to incorporate the word energy into his day-to-day conversations.
Very Big Whimsy energy. Yeah. Very Michael energy. You mirror energy. That 15-year-old energy. Celebrating the energy of... I feel that energy. Gravy ladle energy. White flag surrender energy. This has the same energy.
So he's all about the energy. If he's talking about something, there's a pretty good chance he's going to throw some energy onto it. This is manifested in the past, too. If you remember, instead of fantastic... He would take the fan out of the word fantastic. And let's say he liked a car. He would say it's car-tastic. or anything. It doesn't matter what. If you got a new set of tires, oh, man, these new tires, it's tire-tastic. Oh, man, it's so rainy, it's rain-tastic. That happened a lot. And we humiliated that out of them because we created a montage and played it. And it was fucking great. So I've been picking up on this. And I've got a lot more examples of it. It's taken me some time to compile them.
Very big whimsy energy. Yeah. Very Michael energy. You mirror energy. That 15-year-old energy. Celebrating the energy of, I feel that energy. Gravy ladle energy. White flag surrender energy. This has the same energy.
Gravy ladle energy? Alan has picked up on something else that I have picked up on.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
And that is Free Beer. Loves to go with another saying that's popular, a trending bit of language. Everything's low key.
Was yours low key on purpose? I low key want to go too. I low key have a lot of debt. Low key annoyed. Like a low key loyalty test. Low key mad at him.
Everything's low key. Hey, that's low key. I'm not even sure what the fuck. Does that mean subtle? I know that that's something that people, young people say. It's low-key this, low-key that. So I guess it's become part of his menu.
Was yours low-key on purpose? I low-key want to go too. I low-key have a lot of debt. Low-key annoyed. Like a low-key loyalty test. Low-key mad at him.
Ben Glaze dropped in something from to tease his material that he has for us. Share that with you. This is from the Free Beer and Hot Wings show. They did a segment where they did sound effects. I guess like a Foley artist, if you know what a Foley artist is. That was something on the show. And Ben has sent along the clip of that. Let's see if I can get it here. Hang on. Take me a second. I'm doing this on the fly. I apologize. Okay. Downloads. Here we go.
This game sucks. Is it time for commercial yet? This game sucks. Is it time for commercial yet?
That tells us that it did not work out. Holy shit.
This game sucks. Is it time for commercial yet?
I like that they're at least referencing it, that it sucks. That's what happens when you don't prepare and you just come up with the shit on the fly. Come on, man. Chris says low-key means the opposite. Amy says, what about using era? I don't know. Is that something? I guess I'll have to try to pay attention for that. Megan says he wants his douchey way of talking to match his douchey hair. Okay, now, I mean, I can feel that. I can definitely feel that. I just don't want you to get yourself into like a little bit of a cluster, Megan. I mean, if you're going to drop the hammer like that, you got to make sure that you're comfortable with dropping the hammer like that. That type of hammer dropping could lead to, oh, hey, how are you, Megan?
Oh, my God. Oh, geez. Look, hey, I hate to bother you, but I was mean. And because of that, I think that maybe, can you go ahead and delete that segment, that moment in time? Can you cut it out? Can you actually cut it out so that people don't think that I'm mean? I'm having an anxiety. I know it's at 4 o'clock in the morning, but could you go do it right now while I stand here?
I'm kidding. It's part of your charm. Ben says the Foley artist one was a huge pile of shit. Jeremy says, I hate freebie. Alan says it was fucking terrible. That show has been absolutely brutal to listen to. I hate myself for doing it. I'm so glad that you are, though. Megan says, I'm pretending to be mean to earn street cred. Man Bun Chris says, you know, back in 2019 on the Patreon, I said something mean. Can you go find that and cut it out? Tyler adds, Megan needs two-factor authentication for her chat to make sure she's okay throwing out heat. That's funny, Tyler. All right, so low key and energy. That's part of what we will be doing tonight when we do Big Fraud Thursday right here. Amy says, don't forget the use of the word wild. Oh, man, it's wild. Wow, that's a new one. I don't even have any examples other than the last show we did of him saying wild. They both say wild. Oh, my God, that's wild. And it's usually not at all wild. And anyway, it's never wild. Fuck. All right. So that's what's up. Top of mind here on the show. For the folks who are enjoying the show on YouTube and Facebook, I will now kick you out. If you want the rest of the show, it's available on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. Twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. Or download the Twitch app. Search at Eric Zane Live. You can find it there. Audio, wherever you download shows, it's everywhere. And thank you so much for that. The Patreon, extra content, sign up for 5 days free. You're going to love tonight's Who Are These Free Beers. You're going to love tonight's Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. You can get it live, as we do it live, the live stream, when you sign up for a 7-day free trial at my Patreon, patreon.com/Eric Zane. I want to try to get 3 more by the time the show starts so I can be at 240 for the first time in years. It's been slowly but surely trending up. And that would be the first time since, back in early 2021 since I've had that many people on there. So things keep going, progressing positively for the Patreon. So sign up for free at patreon.com/Eric Zane. If you want to reach out to me via email, eric@ericzaneshow.com on the Shoreliners Striping inbox. Thank you so much. All right. Facebook and Twitch brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. Thank you to show realtor Adam Kasari. Adam is a good dude. If you're buying a home, if you're selling your home, you need a realtor to do that, please. Call up Adam and see if he fits your needs. His number is 616-914-4061. You can also find him on Facebook. Just search Adam Kasari, C-A-S-A-R-I. His name is scrolling through on the live stream here. And as well, Reach out to him at 616-914-4061. Please mention that you heard about him from me. So if you're thinking about buying or selling in West Michigan, that's who you call. My friends at Dumpster Divers, pardon me, not Dumpster Divers, Dumpaholics, want to hear from you. If you are in need of a dumpster and you are in West Michigan, reach out to Dumpaholics, 616-375-9962. 616-375-9962. They can hook you up with any dumpster that you need, and you'll save money doing it with Dumpster Divers. Damn it, I did it again. Dumpaholics. God. Let me change that right now so I don't keep doing the same mistake. I changed their names. They changed their name. When it comes to tree care in West Michigan, tree removal, stump grinding, tree risk assessment, storm damage cleanup, tree pruning, Kuiper Tree Care, 616-828-8225. That's 616-828-8225. K-U-I-P-E-R, KuiperTreeCare.com. Branjo says, I've got a realtor conference in Washington, D.C. next week. So many drunk realtors. Yeah, so you go there. What is it, like the Realtor Bureau or something like that? They put on an event. Do you have to pay dues to be a realtor? All right. I hope things are going well for you as a realtor. Remember, call Adam, though, and not Branjo. Day on the Hill, he says, and yes, our members have to pay dues. All right. Stories going on in the news that we should talk about. This is pretty serious. The Michigan Supreme Court has ended the effort of the family members of school shooting victims at Oxford High School to try to get some closure. And, the families think that the school was responsible, and I don't know how in the world this happened, but the Supreme Court has dismissed the appeals by the families of the students killed or wounded at the 2021 Oxford High School shooting. The families were trying to hold the employees of the school partly responsible for the mass shooting. It drives me crazy that something like this that's so black and white can, and it makes sense to everybody on the planet except for the court system. Under Michigan law, immunity is a high hurdle to overcome in lawsuits against a government body, including public school staff. Lawyers typically have to show that gross negligence occurred. The court, in a two-sentence order, said it would not take the case. The decision means a 3-0 Court of Appeals decision in favor of school employees will stand. Four young people were killed. This stems from, what the fuck was that idiot's name? Ethan Crumbly. Like the English assignment was write a paper, and everybody's writing their paper, and he's got a piece of paper, and he's writing cartoons of him slaughtering students. Like, legit. And the teacher, like, sees what he's doing, and it says, I can't stop the voices in my head. Like, it actually said that with dead kids bleeding out on this piece of paper. That this psycho... is writing. Now, just prior to this, mom and dad bought the kid a gun, a handgun, and then didn't like lock it up, and he took it to school. So it's in his backpack, loaded, ready to go. So he's going to go shoot everybody up, which is insane. That led to a law in Michigan. You can't, if you're in a home that has young people, or like, let's say your grandkids are coming over. Like, if my grandkids are coming over, I got to lock up all my guns, because if they happen to get a hold of them and something terrible happens, I am on the hook. That's a law now because of this. But this family didn't do that. They just threw it in the fucking junk drawer and said, there you go. That's where you keep your guns, son. Well, that psychopath brings it to school. And then he's drawing the illustration. Teacher sees it. They go, whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute. And they take him down to like the counseling office. And so he's got the pistol in his backpack. Mom and dad come in. And then the school's like, we think he, I think you should send him home. And the parents said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to take him home. He's fine. They're serving sentences right now for manslaughter. And then the school said, all right, no problem. Go on back to class and no more drawing of you killing people, you know? And then so the kid goes back to class and then he shoots everybody up. I don't understand how this could possibly be. Of course the school is negligent. You know, if there's another case like this where they find kid drawing images of him shooting, if this ever happens again, fuck, how? Isn't it like, do you remember like when there was a time when the kid was eating in the lunchroom and ended up one of the McNuggets or whatever, the chicken nuggets was shaped like a gun and the kid went pew, pew. And they, like, kicked him out of school for life. Nick says, my kid's school would shake down and search kids on rumors of just having a vape. David says, that's the first problem. Why buy a gun for a kid? Well, I mean, you can buy a gun for a kid as long as you're interactive with them. And you know that your kid's not retarded. They knew that this kid was one of those weirdo psychopath kids. This kid was bullied, and they knew that. He didn't bathe. He sat in the house all goddamn day playing video games. He had no friends. So if anybody knows anybody that has kids like that, or if any of you have a kid like that, fuck, you need to be careful with the little fucking psycho. Bob said it was the kid who bit a Pop-Tart into a gun shape. Yes, that's exactly right. Tyler says the only thing that would be more negligent than that is if they saw the gun and said, all right, back to class now, you little scamp. Keep that thing in your backpack. Yeah, I don't mind a parent buying a kid a gun, provided that they, you know, they're not idiots. These two people didn't take care of their kid. They knew that that kid was fucked up. If they didn't, they're stupid. Also, again, if you have a kid that is like a jock or good looking or popular, you got to impress upon those kids to seek out these loser kids and handle them with kid gloves. Have your wealthy, good-looking, jock / popular / smart kids befriend those scuzz kids. That's what you need to do. That ensures, because when the bullied scuzz kid goes to take out students, he's going to go after the beautiful kids, the handsomes, the beautifuls, the athletics,
the populars, the wealthy. That's what they do. Okay? You got to impress that upon your kids. Say, look, you don't have to really like these people, but when it goes down, or if it goes down, or when it goes down, you want to be in the good graces, because these little psychos make their fucking hit lists, and it's always kids like you. Like the victims of that horrible incident. Look at Hannah here. Beautiful, smiling, happy. Tate is, you know, he's Emilio Estevez on the Breakfast Club. Probably champ on the football team, top wrestler, going to get a scholarship. Madison here, pretty as a picture. Look at that. Just beautiful kids. Justin, happy as a clam. Look at these four. Four beautiful, shining faces. That these are the types of kids that a psycho like Ethan Crumley will seek out. Ethan is now 19 years old. He's serving a life sentence in prison. And you know how it is. That'll probably get turned over at some point. He'll be walking the streets in a few years. The parents, Jennifer and James, are serving 10-year sentences for involuntary manslaughter. Prosecutors said they ignored the kid's mental health needs. They bought him a gun as a gift and failed to safely secure it. The, let's see. There's some comments on this. The father of football player kid, Bill Meyer, said, "I cannot believe that a tragedy of this nature and our government can just sweep it under the rug and say, sorry for your loss. It was preventable." He's right. In September, the appeals court said there was no evidence that Oxford staff were the proximate cause of the tragedy, noting it was 15-year-old Ethan Crumley who made the definite and premeditated decision to take a gun to school and commit the mass shooting. I disagree. They did not act swiftly on getting that maniac out of the classroom. On the day of the shooting, Ethan sketched images of the gun, the bullet, wounded men and women on a math paper, accompanied by despondent phrases. Parents were quickly called to the meeting but declined to take him home. No one, parents or staff, decided to check the boy's backpack for a gun, though an administrator joked that it was heavy. Oh, my God. Chris Desmond, an appellate lawyer for the family, said the legislature needs to change the high bar of governmental immunity. If this event, God forbid, were to happen in a private school, this case would have been resolved by now, he said. What a shit show. Fuck. Terrible. Bob writes, "My son does not have a gun. I have a gun for him to use or train with, a 22 AR. But it's locked in my safe with the rest of them." Lucky. Oh, that would be great. I got to get one of those. I want to get one of those $12,000 50 cal BMGs. One of those big ass Barrett fucking sniper. Chris Kyle motherfuckers. Oh, my God. Nick says, "I'll have to see if I can find the piece of artwork that got me a talking to in middle school. Luckily, pre-Columbine, or I probably would have been committed." Man Bun Chris says, "What kid needs an assault rifle to train? LOL." Yeah. What are you doing there, Bob? Chris wants to know, what type of training? Is he just like, is it target practice or is it just fun? You know, Chris is your age. I think you guys are about the same age, in your 30s. But Bob is more Hilljack than Chris. I know this. So can you maybe describe to us
some type or give us some type of response about why you would let a child shoot it. Now, I don't have a problem with it, with a child shooting an AR rifle. That is a fantastic piece of equipment, and it's fucking fun as shit. Okay? I think, what's the difference if it's a handgun or a bolt-action 22 or an AR-15? Who gives a fuck what type of gun it is? I mean, sure, that's the chosen weapon to take out as many students as possible. But that doesn't mean that Bob's kid is going to go shoot up the goddamn school. Hopefully he's got enough sense to decide whether or not his kid's a retard or not. I would think that he's not. I would trust Bob's decision-making. That he's doing. I mean, like, if Bob's kid was retarded, I don't think Bob would make the certain mistakes that could get him into trouble. I just don't believe it. Cole says, because America, that's why. Chris says, they're scary looking. No, they're awesome looking. Bob says, paper targets, and I learned proper gun safety, and I won it in a raffle. 22, perfect for beginners. No, it's true. There's not a lot of physical impact on your shoulder when you shoot a weapon like that. It's easier on your body to shoot. You can control it much better than other types of weapons. And that, I'm pretty sure that, I haven't shot one, but I'm pretty sure that that weapon is a pretty smooth firing weapon. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.